We're so blessed to be back in the house of the Lord today. We want the word of the Lord today to ring deeply in our hearts and minds. Amen. And we're thankful for the truth today. Isn't it good to feel the presence of the Lord? Amen. You know, God has something for us today. We want to just be open-hearted. We want our minds to be open, alert. And I want to challenge you. And throughout the word of God, you'll find that God never desired good things from us. In other words, whenever there was an offering, they had to go get a lamb. They had to go get something out of their flock. They never looked for a good offering. And when we talk about offering, immediately people start thinking money. But I want you to think with me. They never went and got a good lamb. They got the best. And that best offering for God. Today, God don't want good church. Good church will send us to hell. God wants the best we could give today to him. That means our attention. That means our worship. Even more than a response. Amen. Let's give God more than a response today. Let's give God that highest honor that we have today in his house. We're ready for God to do something today in this place. Amen. I want you to open your heart with me. Amen. Would you just stand? Brother Colton's going to come teach us in just a moment. But before he does, it's a lot better when somebody just opens up and say, God, my best for you. Lord, how wonderful and excellent you are, Jesus. We thank you today for your power, Lord, your beauty. Oh, the sweet, sacred anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you today for liberty, God, to live and to walk in your kingdom. And that fresh anointing of your spirit this morning, God, that we could find in you that anchor, Lord, that hope, that rock, that revelation and beginnings, God. You're the creator, and you could create today in us, God, a greater force and work of your spirit. God, use us as your vessel. Lord, God, we thank you today for the time to come to offer to you our best. God, that excellency, God, our very best we give today, our attention, our mind, but Lord, our worship to you. We praise you, Lord. Let your sweet spirit right now begin to minister in this house. God, let us allow your presence to flow. God, let us allow your word to speak. God, your voice to be known. I pray right now for the liberty, God, of your presence, God, to feel deeply in my soul, my spirit, my ways. God, feel and fulfill today. Draw us to you, Jesus, into that holy of holies before thy throne. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you thanks today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise for his righteousness. And when you clap your hands, you ought to shout to God. Shout to God with a voice of triumph and praise. Beautiful you are, Jesus. Worthy you are, my King. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Colton, come. Let God be God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Anybody else wondering what happened to our winner? I was just curious. If I was the only one wondering, we only get 1 week of cold this year. Jumping right into this, I don't want to tarry too long. Thank you, Pastor, for entrusting me in teaching. It's been a joy. As much as I teach y'all, I hope y'all get something out of it. Because I'm telling you, the Lord teaches me while I'm studying. And the nuggets that I have come across as I'm studying, it's an honor to stand before you and be able to teach lessons. I don't take it for granted. And again, thank you, Pastor and Sister Crosswhite, for entrusting me in this. And in praying and fasting, I've sought the Lord, and I think this is a really a three-part session that I've been studying. And so with that being said, I'm going to move into part two of what I talked about last week. And last week, if you remember, we talked about crucifying the flesh. The flesh was the enemy of one of enemies of our souls. And so moving into part two of this, I want to talk. I'm gonna go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and you may remain seated because I've got a lot of scriptures to move through. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And so today I want to talk about the number two enemy of your soul, and that's the world. And so I think it's time for us to unfriend some things of the world. If I was to title this, I'm titling Unfriending the World. Our focus now turns to this enemy of our soul. Again, as I said last Sunday, this is not to bring magnification to the world or to your flesh or to the devil, but it's ultimately to bring a revelation of the threat that is coming against you. So it's first important in all warfare to identify your enemy. No matter what kind of war or state of war you're in, an identification of your enemy is pertinent. This is what I'm fighting, because there's things that I can't fight if I can't see them, right? And so if I can't fight them because I can't see them, then I'm going to have to rely on somebody who can see them and ultimately can fight them. So an important thing about the world, and this is something that really jumped out at me that I really never thought about, right? Study to show thyself approved. Because in studying this, the world has three definitions. The first one we're going to go to is cosmos. The Greek definition of cosmos is an orderly arrangement of the world. This includes its inhabitants. It can refer to the sum total of what God has created, and specifically to the world as the abode of humans. It's the order in things which humanity moves through life, and in humanity is the center. In some sense, in a lot of the definitions here, it can also refer to customs, values, and habits of sinful human society. So in the New Testament world, under the definition of cosmos, I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures here. And here in a few minutes, I'm going to see if y'all can identify, just by reading the word and the text of the verses, and see if you can see what definitions they belong to. And so I'm going to need some responses here shortly. So this is going to be a give and take this morning, right? So in the New Testament, world is usually translated from cosmos. And here's an example. John 1:10, Brother Josh. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is a definition of cosmos. So let's just translate it just a little bit. And I'm not changing the word, but I'm saying he was in humanity, and humanity was made by him, and humanity knew him not. Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God made humanity. God made the things that we are a part of. Another scripture, John 3:16, very familiar scripture to most everybody. For God so loved humanity that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 2:15, love not humanity. Love not the world, humanity, neither the things that are in humanity. If any man love humanity, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm talking about cosmos. This is the definition. I'm not talking about, and I'll get to the other definitions of the world, but this is what we're talking about. This is cosmos definition. Another one is aeon. Aeon is a Greek meaning of space, a period of time. Example, a lifetime, right? It's used in one's time frame or life or age. It can be a long space of time. It can be a short space of time. It can mean an age. It can mean present or future tense, or even perpetuity, which is a timeline fixed by a law. All of us are on a timeline. And not any one of us know when the law is going to stop our timeline, right? So this translation in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, notice this is a little g God, of this world, of this timeline, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So this letter is saying that the little g God has blinded the little g God of this time frame, of this timeline, has blinded the minds of them in this time frame. Timothy talking in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present timeline. This present world, this time frame that he's in, he decided that it was more important for him to be in that world, to love that present timeline, than to love the things that were of the future. The things that this reminds me of what was his name, Esau, right? He wanted what was right then. He couldn't wait for what was coming. So be not conformed, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, this time frame, this timeline, this place that's governed by law. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Titus 2, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust that are a part of this time frame, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, this present timeline. So Matthew 13:22, he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world timeline, this is, we're still in aeon, right, this timeline, and the deceitfulness of the riches of that timeline choke the word, and he become unfruitful. So that's aeon. So aeon is time frame. Everybody say aeon is time frame, right? Cosmos is kind of lengthy, but it's basically our values as humans, right? So the next one, acumene is a Greek word meaning land, globe, or earth. It's the physical dirt that you walk on every day. It is a geographical location. So this word is translated in the following verses, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, geographic location, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is that world. Do you see the difference in definitions of the worlds that are in the Bible? So this is a geographic location, Luke 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, right, the nation, the physical location, geographic location, should be taxed. Luke 4:5, and the devil taking him up, now we're talking about the devil has come to Jesus after he had been fasting, and taking up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, geographic location, in a moment of time. Again, geographic location. Acts 11:28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth. A dearth is a famine, a time of drought, throughout all the world, geographic location, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So, does everybody have an understanding of those three definitions? So, acumene, location, right? Cosmos is our humanity, and aeon is the time frame. So that's the definitions of the world in this study. So our enemy, our soul's enemy, is not the earth or acumene. It is not the physical geographic location, right? It is not this place. I'm just going to step out, and I'm not pastor, so I'm not going to hit on this long. But I can tell you, and I'm just being transparent. Over the last 2 years, I have been in a spiritual warfare beyond what I can possibly explain to you in reference to changing my location. I have had family in the last month that said, you need to leave Brother Crosswhite's church. It doesn't matter your geographic location. It doesn't matter where you are at here. Because if you were to leave here, this part of the world is not your enemy. Your geographic location is not your enemy. Because wherever you go, that same world, humanity, cosmos, is going to still be there. You are still going to fight the same battles. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I felt in the Holy Ghost in the parking lot when I pulled in this morning to say this. So I'm telling you, anybody in this place under the sound of my voice that has a thought about leaving a strong tower to go anywhere else, your geographic location is not your enemy. Cosmos is the enemy of the soul. Cosmos is the thing that, it doesn't matter if I go to a church downtown, if I go to a church around town, if I go to another church somewhere else, this is not my enemy. I'm going to fight the same battles there as I do here. So the last conversation I had last week with family members saying I needed to leave were rebuked. And I said, the more you want me to leave my pastor, the harder it is I'm going to fight to stay here. Because obviously the devil does not like whatever's going on here. And I'm going to fight to stay here. So again, I'm not pastor. I'm not going to hit on that for very long. But I'm just telling you, if there's anybody else under the sound of my voice that is in a fight like I am fighting, I'm telling you, leaving locations, the geographic location is not your enemy. Cosmos is. And so I feel like there's something fixing to break forth in this church. And I feel like that I want to be a part of whatever it is. Moving on. So, our soul's enemy is not the earth. It's not economy. But it's really cosmos in the sense of the universe within it, its inhabitants, the things that we fight daily. It's humanity, it's society, it's customs. 1 John 2:15-17, Brother Josh, 15 through 17. Our enemy is certainly in the age that we live in. Bible says, love not the world. This is not economy. What do you think this is? Cosmos. This is cosmos. This is the things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not humanity, neither the things that humanity can build or design or create. If any man love humanity or this part of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Continue. For all that is in the world, all that humanity, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of humanity. Right? Next. And the world, guess what's going to happen? Humanity is going to pass away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I can tell you right now, I don't want to get caught up in humanity. I don't want to get caught up in the lust of the flesh and the things of this world. I don't want to get caught up in all of the things that are going on, because no matter what goes on in my life, God is still on the throne. No matter what goes on in the lives of your families, your life, Brother Neil, no matter what happens, God is still on the throne. Right? And so it is important for us to remember Esau, that it's not what's before you today, but what is in eternity that matters. So from each aeon, going back to aeon, there arises inventions and allurements and enticements, carnal trappings, places and events invented by humans. And for every generation, it produces an atmosphere or an environment that is peculiar to its own day. This environment is destructive to our spiritual lives if we involve ourselves. And it's always in a state of flux. It's always moving, always abounding, always, it's growing with us. I can tell you, it's ever changing, because everything in our world is changing very rapidly. Things that happened 50 years ago, things that my grandparents fought in school, were not the things that I fought 30 years ago in school. And it's not the things that our children fight now in school. The things that I fought 30 years ago has changed. Now, there may be root things like bullying, stuff like that, but there's other things. I can remember when I was in high school, Brother Neil, we didn't even have internet my ninth grade year. Internet was just being conversated about. It was only the government could have internet. Only the military had internet. And when they finally got internet, finally, you had to sit there for 5 minutes while it beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, and dialed up. And Lord forbid you wanted to get a hold of a girlfriend and you try to call her and it's busy. You know what they're doing. Her family's on the internet, because it went through a phone line. And if they didn't have multiple phone lines in the house, then all you would get was beep, beep, beep. Big thing back then was AOL. You've got mail. Right? That came out when I was in high school. I remember being in elementary and they had those, and some of you young people are never going to know this, but the big old 6-inch floppy disk that you had to put in the computer, right? Now they have computers the size of that floppy disk. Things are changing rapidly. Things are moving fast, and the more our technology grows, the faster we grow. And so the problems of yesterday don't necessarily plague us of today. If Jesus tarries, the problems of today are not going to be problems 50 years from now. There are going to be other problems. There's going to be other things that come into our lives. And so right now, we have to deal with the problems now. And so you know what I say? It's time to unfriend some things of the world. You can get on Facebook and you can like people and you can unfriend them. You can unfriend them just as fast as you liked them. You know what? They won't even know that you unfriended them half the time. Right? So you can friend them and see that that's not what whatever their lifestyle, whatever they're posting, and you can unfriend them. I've had people friend me and unfriend me. I'm scrolling one day and I was like, oh, I thought I friended them. Right? It's time to unfriend some things of the world. It's time to get our hands out of some of the cosmos stuff in our life, the humanity, because ultimately it's going to pull on us and it's going to entice us. Every generation has to be spiritually aware of the enticements and allurements and evils of the day. And we have to not only just be aware of them, but we just talked about this, and this is probably going to be further in my notes, but I'm just going to jump ahead anyway. We just talked about this, Brother John. Guardrails. So as we move forward with new inventions, new devices, and new forces of evil that we fight, we must stay alert of what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Every generation produces its own aeon, its own world, right? In the Spirit. The world cosmos of humanity under satanic influences will constantly bring false doctrines into your world. It will always fight you with wrong codes of conduct. It will always fight you with worldliness of our society. And we must judge each and every teaching and practice by the Scriptures. If a situation turns up in my life and I decide not to check Scripture, or I decide to not seek my shepherd's voice, I'm very easily going down the wrong path. In my house, from the very beginning, when my girls were really little, they like to tell secrets. I'm not a big secret keeper. I can't stand secrets. The reason why I can't stand secrets is because usually with secrets comes a spirit behind it. And I can't stand that spirit. Because usually that spirit is up to no good. And so Daddy always told his girls this has been years, so we don't keep secrets. Now, fun secrets, I'm not being, you know, picky about, but I'm just saying that the spirit of secretism is very, 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 very dangerous. If you're doing something that you have even a check in your spirit, but you decide not to confront the Word of God, or you decide not to go, and I'm not saying go to pastor about everything. If I go buy a car, I'm not going to go ask pastor if it's okay. But there are very important things in our lives that I will involve my shepherd in, that it's important to involve your shepherd in, especially when it comes to spiritual things of your life. Because I want to grow in God. I don't want to diminish in God. I don't want to take two steps forward, Brother Weaver, and find myself walking five steps back. I want to maintain. When I was a police officer, we used to go into rooms, and we would clear rooms. And the way we would clear rooms is called slicing the pie. So if I came to a room, and there's a wall here, and there's a wall here, and I'm in the funnel of death, that's what they call the doorway, the funnel of death, right? And so I'm slicing the pie, that I would gain a little ground, but I wouldn't move back. Because if I move backwards, I've just lost that ground that I've gained. I lost the tactical advantage. So when I would go into a room and I would clear a room, we would, even if it's by inches, I'm just clearing that room real, real small, real, real, but I'm gaining ground. And I don't lose that ground. I stand that ground. It's the same way in our spiritual world. As long as you are gaining ground, you stand your ground and you don't lose your ground. And so each generation fights these things. They fight worldliness. They fight the conducts of our society. And we have to judge it and say, is this of God or is this of not of God? Spiritual perception is a must in our lives. Unmuzzled ministry must fulfill our pulpits at all times to warn us of our age. Pastor, I need you to step on my toes. I need you to say, that's a no. I need that in my life. That's one of the things that I battle. Oh, you go to a strict church. It's strict. And I was like, it's biblical. I need it. I told one of them the other day, Brother Jerry, I was like, you tell me you have the Holy Ghost and you say you're praying for me, and if I make you mad in about three more sentences, you're going to cuss me out. Tell me how you have the Holy Ghost. In the same phone conversation, Brother Weaver, I can't live like that. I can't live in a spiritual society while I'm walking in this world and have I have the liberty to do whatever I want. We do. You have the liberty to do whatever you want, and God is a gentleman, and he ain't going to force you to do anything else you don't want to do. But I want to make it to heaven. And if I'm going to make it to heaven, then I'm going to have guardrails in my life. And I'm going to have to stand whenever I gain ground. I'm going to have to stand wherever that ground is and say, I'm not moving from this spot. I'm not moving from this world, geographic location. I have a strong tower here. I have a strength here that I'm not going to, I don't know that I'll be able to find this strength that I have here somewhere else. The basics of sin, such as lying, stealing, hatred, lust, murder, adultery, fornication, it exists in every age. Some sinful practices are characteristic of the age. And there's those that there are ones that which we must specially be on guard for every time frame. History records the growth and the spread of iniquity over the face of the earth. It's not a polluted atmospheric condition. This originates in the heart, mind, soul of humans, a cosmos, culminating every kind of conceivable sin. Brother Jess, when I was in school, we didn't have police officers walking the halls of our school. If there was a police officer at the school, it's because there was a big fight, and the teachers couldn't break it up. And there's a slight possibility that the teachers were involved too. We didn't have police officers walk in our schools. But in the last 20 years, I can tell you in the last 5 years, it's been mandated by the state of Texas that a police officer is assigned to every public school building in the state of Texas. Elementary, primary, doesn't matter. Why? Why are we in this state, Sister Kristen? Because of cosmos. Because of the world, of the humanity part of the world. This sinful values and customs are the enemies of our souls. And we must stand on guard. We must overcome. We must not compromise. We can't compromise, Saul. The Lord told you to destroy the Amalekites. All of them, everything. And yet, what do I hear? Why am I hearing things that you were told to destroy? Because guess what? Now that you've played friends with them, they're going to haunt you forever. For hundreds of years, because you didn't destroy it from the very beginning. Because you were the watchman, Saul, on the wall. You were the one that was told to go and destroy. You were the one that was told to come and sit on the wall, Brother Weaver, and watch over your family, right? And to destroy the things that come against your family. And yet, here I am, Brother Colton, sitting with my hands in my pockets. Because I wasn't the watchman, Sister Crosswhite, that I should have been. And so now I'm having to fight spirits that I've never had to fight before. Strongholds that come into our world and come into our lives because I was a watchman, Brother Riley, but I didn't do anything about it. I'm talking about the enemy. I'm talking about knowing the enemy of your soul. And let's unfriend some things. Let's make up in our mind this morning to unfriend some things of this world. Regardless of the age in which we live, we encounter elements that make up this world every day. Going back to 1 John 2:15. root causes. Go to 16. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's your roots. I've identified my enemy. We have desires, ambitions, and strong inclinations to be like everybody else, to participate in activities. I can't tell you how many times my girls go, well, I want to go do it because they're doing it. I remember telling my dad that. And my dad's response was always, well, if they jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off the bridge too, depending on how high it is. Because I'm afraid of heights. No, I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of depths. I can look up all day long. It's the looking down part I don't like. Right? We must discern satanic devices that are peculiar to us in our day. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about cosmos. It's time to unfriend some things. God does not warn us. Here we go. Here's guardrails. I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself. God does not warn us without cause if danger didn't exist. God wouldn't warn you if there was no danger. Right? But God's word's not going to impose restrictions upon us if there's no danger. But if there's dangers, the word adequately warns us and says, hey, double check that. So here's some scriptures. See if y'all can identify some of them. Each of the statements relates dangers of the world. Some of these verses speak of either aeon or cosmos. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, right? That's the first scripture I read. So the world in this would be escape the pollutions of the world. What would that definition be? Cosmos, aeon, or cosmos? Good job. Y'all are paying attention. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's with that world? Cosmos. Good job. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. What is that one? Careful. It is not cosmos. It is time. It is aeon. Good job. How about for 2 Corinthians 4:4? In whom the God, little g, of this world, which one is that one? Aeon. It's this time frame. That is correct. Good job. How about Ephesians 2:2? Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. This world has a course. Let's read all of it. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is cosmos. That is cosmos. The course of this world, this humanity. Right? How about Titus 2:12? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The world has lust. What are we talking about? Cosmos. Good job. The world has its fashions. 1 Corinthians 7:31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The fashion of this world. Think about fashion. Humanity. It's cosmos. It is. All right. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That is aeon. Good job. The world has its wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What do y'all think that is? Aeon. It's Aeon. All right, one more. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Did I say that one already? The world has a spirit. Now, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The spirit of the world. What do y'all think that is? Cosmos. Cosmos, good job. So let us be on guard against the encroachment of the things of our life. We must not allow them to separate us from the love of God. It's time to unfriend some things. It's time to unfriend some things that might separate us. It's time to put some guardrails up, Pastor, and says, this is a guardrail. This is a no zone. This is a, if I go down this road and I decide to go around that guardrail, Sister Christy, that there's probably going to be a cliff on that other side. So there's scriptural. So knowing the enemy is one thing. Identifying him is one thing. All right, I'm trying to close. But knowing how to conquer him is quite another. Simplistic and elementary, it may sound, the biblical method for handling the world is to what? Overcome. It is quite a challenge, and when we think of the task, yet our Lord expects nothing less. The original Greek word overcome means to subdue, conquer, prevail, or get victory over. Webster defines overcoming as being the better in competition, the better or a master, to suppress, to prevail over, surmount, or overwhelm. And John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, what? I have overcome the world. That means I want to be in his boat. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with? Boy, we sure can fight battles, right? And boy, it's hard not to, it's hard not to fight evil with evil. But if you let God do the battle, and you overcome evil with good, good will prevail. 1 John 5:4-5. There's victory for those that overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'll tell you right now, this is where I want to be. I don't want to change my geographic location. If we overcome, we will inherit all things. 1 John 4:1-4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Next. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. Go to the next. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, where ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we overcome, we will inherit all things. Go to Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's time for us to unfriend some things. Let us be on guard against the encroachment. God has made us glorious, and he promises the overcomers that we will overcome if we just trust in him. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's say that again. He that hath an ear, let him hear. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. There's promises for those that overcome. And here they are. Really quickly. I will give to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the garden. Go to the next one. He that hath an ear. Oh no, 11. Go back to 11. You had it right. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Go to the next one. He that hath an ear, there's a reason why scripture is repeating itself. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We need to be mindful. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receive it. 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Next one, 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's promises coming. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar of the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. God does not take us out of the world, and I'm closing. God does not take us out of this world. Only the rapture is going to take us out of this world. Soon as we get born again, we don't automatically get away. We don't automatically have things just rainbows and roses, right? There's going to come a day. But until then, we must live, we must work, we must attend school, we must be neighbors, and we must walk among our peers in society. The wheat and the tares will grow together. The sheep and the goats will pasture together. Two will grind at the mill together. Side by side, we must walk until God separates us. While we await his return, we must be a separate, holy, and distinguishable people, remaining unspotted by the world. While using this world, we may never abuse it. Go to the last three scriptures that I have for 1 Corinthians 7:31. God promises overcomers, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. God's promises are that overcomers not to conform. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Our age needs witnesses, and we are the light of the world. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's time to unfriend the world, and it's time to get our light out before men so they can see God's good works in us.
And the Lord good, and God is for us. Who could be against us? When you are born again, something is born within. You got more than a gift. Amen. Like some people teach, the Holy Ghost is just a gift of God. No, it's gift God inside of you. The Holy Ghost is God living in you. And God wants you to be an overcomer. Amen. He will help you be the victor. Amen. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord today. Aren't you thankful? Let's give the Lord thanks today. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. We love you. We praise you, and help us to be that which you've called us to be. Your people, your ambassadors, and your overcomers. We give you praise. Amen. Praise God. We're so honored that you're here today. And we're going to transition into our morning worship service in just a moment. If you need to go to the restroom, it's down the hall here, water. If you need some water, get you a drink at the fountain. Amen. But we're so glad you're here. Good to have Johnny with us today. This is Brother and Sister Perez's son, Johnny. I'm so thankful for him being with us. James, good to see you back today, and everybody else in the house of the Lord. Let's greet each other. Shake somebody's hand. You got about 10 minutes. God bless you. Amen. Let's have a great service this morning.